Good morning, North Campus. I'm Pastor David. I am so glad to be here with you today. I've missed you. I haven't seen you in a month. So it is awfully good to see you, and thank you for being with us for this exciting mission celebration today. Hopefully you've got a chance to interact with some of our missionaries who have been moving about. Great to meet you guys from Sao Paulo on your way now. We're so grateful that we have amazing people like this family that represent us and go for us to the ends of the earth. But I don't think they would agree with that statement very much, except the great part about being people and all. I mean, our role in that, world missions, global missions, sounds like such a huge concept and almost an impossible idea to get our minds around, but it is our mission. Matthew chapter 28 is the Great Commission. Do you remember it? I bet you've memorized it at some time if you've been around a Baptist church very long. It's Matthew chapter 28, verses 18, 19, and 20. Let's see if we can do it together. You ready for this? All authority has been given unto me, this is Jesus speaking, that's on heaven, in heaven and on earth. All right? So Jesus has all authority. It means when he speaks, what do? No, we say, yes, sir. We listen, and then we lean into it, because he has all authority. He is the Lord. He is our King. Then he says this, go ye therefore, and what? Make disciples. What's a disciple? A fully devoted follower of Christ. Someone who is imitating Christ. Someone who is living the life of Christ. Someone who is on mission with Christ. And you recall his mission, don't you? He said, the Son of Man came to seek and to save what? That which was lost. We were lost once, but someone found us. Jesus found us, and we were saved. We're changed lives. And now our mission is to change lives. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. See how big the mission is? See how grand global missions really is? It's huge, but it is our mission. See, it was his mission. And now it's our mission. That's why we call it a great co-mission. We don't have to do it on our own. He instructs us to teach them all things that he has taught us, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then he makes us this promise, and I am with you all the way, even to the end of the age. So we have his promise that he'll accompany us on this great co-mission. But a mission like this may seem so overwhelming we don't even know where to begin, or how we personally might fit in to the mission. So I want to give you three ways we can all connect to the mission today. And I want you to write them down. I think you've got some fill in the blanks there that'll help you. And here's the first one. Write this down with me. I can pray. Say that with me. I can pray. You can pray. I can pray. We can all pray. Pray in something that anybody, everybody can do for missions, regardless of age or regardless of how many years we've been a Christian or how far we've gone or how much we've given. We can all pray. That's something we can all do for missions. In fact, next Sunday starts the Week of Prayer for Foreign Missions throughout Southern Baptist churches all over America and around the world. Christians will be gathering together to pray for missions. And it's needed, you see, because missionaries tell us time and time again that the one thing they are desperate for from us is prayer. They're grateful for our financial support and for our encouragement and for the resources, but the one thing they say over and over and over again is this: pray for us. Pray for us. It's because they're involved in spiritual activity, and spiritual things happen through spiritual means. So they ask for us to pray that God will move and work, not just protect in difficult places, but that he would anoint and empower and give boldness, that the gospel will be preached and be heard and understood, and that people will be saved. See, that's a part of the mission, praying for the lost. In fact, if you read in the psalm, we've been encouraged to pray this way: ask for the nations, and I will give it to you as your inheritance. That was a promise made to the Messiah. We can pray that same prayer. We can ask for the nations. We can pray for the souls of hurting and lost humanity and ask that God would send the resources, the people, that God would move by his Spirit and see multitudes of people saved. In fact, you know what Paul's prayer for Israel was? Did you know that he prayed for Israel? Here's what he said. Romans 10, you can read it, verse 1. My heart to God and my prayer for Israel is, do you remember? They might be saved. Paul's prayer request for his own people group and for the nation of Israel and for the lost among his people was that they might hear the gospel, believe, and be saved. But here's the criticism about us. I wonder if it's true. Maybe it is. I don't know. Maybe not for you. Some have said that we spend more time, effort, and energy praying saints out of heaven than we do sinners out of hell. Do you think so? I mean, we pray for ourselves when we need things and help, and that's fine. We should. We have been given access to come to the throne of grace boldly where we might find help in times of need. And we pray for each other, and we pray for the sick and the hurting, and we should. We've been encouraged to pray always one for another, pray without ceasing. But we've been also invited to participate in God's redemptive activity through prayer. Praying for missionaries, praying for the mission, praying for people who need to hear the gospel. I wonder what it'd be like if in this coming year, all of us committed to pray daily for the lost. Just to pray for people in various parts of the world. For example, we have adopted a people group in India that has no access to the gospel. Believe it or not, in this day and time, 2 billion people on planet Earth have no access to the gospel. It's not that they have a church on every corner they drive past, or they can dial it up on the computer, or they can go online, they can listen to a television or radio. They don't have access to the gospel. They're not hearing the name of Jesus to reject the name of Jesus. What if we all committed this year to pray for unreached people groups and ask that God would send the gospel through some means to the people who have never heard of the name of Jesus? 4 billion people on planet Earth are not believers. They are not Christians. Should we care? What can we do? I'll tell you what we can do. We can pray. What if we all committed in this year to pray for the multitudes? Hey, let's make it even more personal. What if we all committed in this upcoming year to pray for someone we know by name who is lost? Well, I'll tell you one thing, that would make us pay attention to the people around us, wouldn't it? Because now we need somebody to pray for if we don't know. Who do I pray for if I'm praying for the lost? Oh, yes, John, her, she, him, they, my family down the street, across family members, my neighbors, coworkers. What if in this coming year we just said, Lord, one thing I want to do for missions this year is pray for somebody who needs to know Jesus. It's one thing we can do. We can all what? We can pray. Say it with me. We can pray. We can pray. You can pray. Anybody, everybody can pray. Number two, write this down. Not only can we pray, we can give. We can give to missions. Remember that when we work. But when we pray, God works. And now we give. We can give to missions, and giving to missions is so very important. It's not as important as prayer, but it comes right along with prayer. We wouldn't want to give without praying, but we sure want to resource our own prayers. Hey, I wonder, have you ever prayed for something and only realized that you were the solution to the something? Have you ever said, God, you got to do something? And the Father says to you in your spirit, yeah, well, I'm trying if you'd get with it. Lord, send somebody. And the Lord says, I did. You're it. Have you ever? Giving's kind of that way. See, we begin to pray for missions. It gets in our heart and our soul. It begins to impact who we are, how we think, how we feel. And the next thing you know, we're wanting to get more involved. And we begin to give, to resource missions, to allow folks to be on the mission field who serve so they don't have to worry about funding or finances or paying the bills or staying on the field or writing home letters every day begging for resources. We give so others can go. Giving is such a powerful part of missions. Now, we want to give intentionally. We want to give prayerfully and missionally because if we aren't careful, you know how this works. We'll give a lot but make little impact. Have you noticed you can't hardly go in a store anymore without them saying, would you like to give another dollar for such and such cause? And it just messes with me every time. You know what I mean? But you could give $1,000 across $1 increments and make very little difference. Or you can be very strategic and prayerful in giving where God directs so that you can make a deep and lasting long-term impact through your giving. That's our strategy at Champion Force. We have lots of needs and lots of opportunities. We have to decide as a church, as a missions committee, as a congregation, where there are opportunities to give and where there are assignments to give. You know the difference. Where is God working? What has He invited us into, and how can we resource and support that work under the leadership of the Holy Spirit? Our missions committee and our church is very intentional in resourcing ministry and missions over time. That means we want to build a relationship, and we want to go back time and time and time again so that we have a deeper, more lasting impact over time than just throwing gospel tracts out the window at 65 miles an hour. Here you go. Jesus loves you. Oh, sorry, I poked your eye out. But no, we want to invest. And with time, effort, and energy, and our financial resources, we're able to do a lot more over time when we're strategic and specific, and that's sort of the strategy for our giving. Let me tell you how that worked out in this last year, sort of by way of victories. When you give to Champion Forest, you should know that everything you put in these baskets as they go by is used for ministry and mission, and some of it is designated and dedicated specifically to missions. For example, last year you gave $520,000 to the Southern Baptist Convention's cooperative program. Now, if you're new to Southern Baptist Church life, let me tell you quickly what that is. The cooperative program is our collective effort to support and resource missions around the world, believing that we can do better and more together than we could do individually on our own. Cooperative missions is what we call it. Cooperative program funds missions and ministry through our IMB and North American Mission Board missionaries all over the world, here at home and literally to the ends of the earth. Last year, as you gave to the budget, you enabled the church budget then to give $500,000 to the cooperative program. That's good. But in addition to that, we have this little thing called the World Mission Offering. And I think if you look in your worship folder right now, you will see where the financial report from the week to week is. You'll see a line item that says World Mission Offering. Do you see it? Go ahead and look. That'll wake you up in midstream here. See it? World Mission Offering. So the World Mission Offering is our effort and opportunity to give above and beyond what we give on a weekly basis to the budget. That money is distributed between several mission offerings, one of which is called the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering. Some of you grew up Southern Baptist, you know what that is. Lottie's not still around, but we named the offering after her in support of our international missionaries. Last year, you gave, through the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering, $522,889. You gave another $156,049 to the North American Mission Board, which was the largest gift of any church in the entire Southern Baptist Convention. Can you believe that? Talk about generosity and giving to missions. Champion Forest is getting that message pretty clear. In fact, if you total up our missions expenditures in this last year, Champion Forest Baptist Church gave over $2 million directly to mission support at home and abroad. $2.1 million, and that's just what we know about and can count, because my guess is you've been generous in other ways too. Yeah, go ahead and clap for the Lord and for your generosity. No question about it. By the way, it's not just money. We're giving time. We're giving attention. In fact, this year we had a really cool thing. You know, in the last couple of years, we gave in order to build a school and a church and a medical clinic and a cafeteria in a very poor area, unreached area of Haiti up in the mountains. We built a church that doubles as a school. There is a nurse there. There is a pastor there. There are teachers and a principal there. And they even have clothes to wear that we supply and support, as well as a hot meal every day. And then at Christmas time, we give those shoe boxes. Do you remember the shoe boxes? Do you know this year you gave 1,931 children in Haiti a little box of hope and encouragement? You gave that box to the kids who were attending the school you gave to build in Haiti where there was no school. By the way, that school is now becoming a high school, and it's the only high school in the region for the children of Haiti. It's not just money. It's what your money does. It's the opportunities it creates. It's the message that it sends. When you give in support of everyday practical needs, we earn the right to be heard. And don't you know, now that there's a church and a school and a clinic and a cafeteria and some clothes to wear, that people are much more interested now in what we have to say in the mountain regions of Haiti? See, that's what giving does. Giving gives us an opportunity to do more. So, I can pray. That much is true. I can give. And I should give because I'm blessed. You're blessed. We're all blessed. If you live in America, I'm telling you right now, you're blessed. But we are blessed to be a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing. And I don't mean a blessing to ourselves. We are blessed to be a blessing to others. In fact, if you think about it, at the heart of mission is simply this: change lives, changing other lives. Isn't that what missions is? Isn't that what the Great Commission is? Jesus said, go and make disciples. That's what a disciple does. A disciple makes other disciples. A saved person sees other people saved. A changed life results in changing lives. We are blessed to be a blessing. And third, write this down. Not only can I pray, I can give. And I want to make more resources available for people who are going where I will never have the opportunity to go. I want to grow in my giving. So I can pray and I can give. And finally, write this down. I can go. I can pray, I can give, and I can go. In fact, we have a sign-up table out in the foyer for you and a trip that is leaving for Russia at 1 o'clock today. We have everything you'll need. Change of clothes, a sack lunch. We'll get you to the airport, kick you off. Don't even worry about passports. It's a direct flight in. You do a mission and you'll be right back out. Because you're the kind of people who say, I want to do more than pray. I want to do more than give. I want to go. I want to be a part of this. Now, I'm just kidding about the trip to Russia today. But I suspect that if that were true and we had a sign-up sheet, some of y'all would go. Because that's just the kind of people we are. You're going kinds of people. Several years ago, it was said to me, Pastor, Champion Forest Baptist Church is a generous giving church for missions. And I said, isn't it great? Isn't that wonderful? I hope I don't ever mess that up, but I wonder. If we gave them the opportunity, do you think that they would also be willing to go? And we started the missions department. In fact, Scott Reiling was the pastor, you may recall if you were here, who started the missions department and got that strategy up and running. And today, we're going like crazy. Going. Not just praying, not just giving, not just watching others go, have fun, have a nice trip. Glad I'm not with you. We're going. In fact, let me give you some victory from this past year with regard to going. You ready for this? By the way, we just finished Faith. And I don't mean like faith, belief in our heart. I mean the program called Faith is Forsaking All, I Trust Him, or the acronym is How We Share Our Faith, Forgiveness Available, Impossible, Turn Heaven. And we teach people on Sunday nights, two semesters a year, in the fall and in the spring, how to share their faith. This last semester, we finished up with 255 participants who every Sunday came to learn and then to do on-the-job training where they went out and visited folks who had visited us, made a great connection, thanked them for visiting our church, asked them a key question, and shared the gospel. We made 925 visits in this last semester, 10 weeks, and 58 people prayed to receive Christ in their homes in the last semester because Champion Forest Baptist Church is willing to go. Do you know what we say? We knock on someone's door and we say, hey, thank you for visiting Champion Forest. It was so great to have you. Did you have any questions? Do you need anything? Can we pray for you? And by the way, in your personal opinion, what do you understand it takes for a person to go to heaven? You know what we're doing? We're doing missions. You know what we're doing? We're going. We're not just praying, though praying's important. We're not just giving, though giving's important. 255 people every Sunday night went. Isn't that good? 58 people prayed to receive Christ. That's changed lives, changing lives. Let me give you some more great news. Listen to this. I had to check this number three times today to make sure I was telling you the truth. 4,987 Champion Forest Baptist Church people participated in some form or fashion, some kind of mission activity in the last year. Did you hear that? Stephen, that should be a whoop or a something. I could say Aggies and I'd get a whoop. But 4,987 people were engaged in missions in the last year through Champion Forest Baptist Church. That ought to be a hallelujah or something. Come on, give me something. Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing. Now, because we're a portable church here at the North Campus, we can't put the signs down. But if you ever visit the main campus, when you leave the parking lot, you will see a little sign by every exit. And some of you already know what it says. What does it say? You are entering your mission field. Why? Because Jesus said go. Now, he didn't say only go to some faraway place. The go is a participle, add an ing, and you get the heart of it. It's going. Jesus assumed we'd be going, and he just simply said, listen, as you go, wherever you go, make disciples. So when you leave church today here at the North Campus, just imagine that you are entering into your mission field, and then stop imagining, because that out there is our mission field. 4,987 people left on mission from Champion Forest Baptist Church. Trips, amazing. 507 people went on 27 trips to 7 states and 14 countries in the last 12 months. As young as 5th grade, our 5th graders go on a mission trip now. Isn't that amazing? 5th graders? Can kids do that? You bet. And do a great job doing it. We've extended our reach beyond the shadow of our steeple now to 3 campuses in 4 languages, and we're planting churches in 5 cities. New Orleans, St. Louis, Seattle, Long Island, New York, in Santiago, Chile, where our former bilingual student pastor relocated his family to plant a church in a needy area of Chile. See what I'm saying? You folks aren't just prayers, though prayer is important. You're more than givers, though giving is important. You are goers. And that's the beauty and the joy of missions at Champion Forest Baptist Church, is you can get there from here. This isn't just something we talk about that happens somewhere else with someone else that we should pray for and give to. You can go with them. Because every time you get up and leave the fellowship of faith into the community that you live, you are literally going on and into your mission field. The challenge this year is that more and more and more of us will say yes to God's call to mission and see ourselves on mission wherever we go, whenever we go. You can pick up your World Mission calendar today when you leave. I think they'll have them for you at the door. Give you something to look towards, pray about, something to think about, something to schedule vacation time around, and plan to be a part of one of these great opportunities that are coming up in the coming year. There's a place for you on one of these trips. And here's what I hope you'll discover, that what missions really is a changed life changing lives. I'd like to give you a very practical, personal example, if I might. Guys, can we activate this microphone? James, come up here, buddy. I want you to meet my friend, James Wild. And James is from a foreign country, so if necessary, I will interpret for him, because, you know, I'm bilingual and all that. He's from Northern England. And you may need me to translate some of his Northern English. But James has become, in the last 3 years, a friend. And I just want you to hear some of his story through a little Q&A time that we have here. And I want you to notice what changed lives do. They change lives. James, welcome to Champion Force. He did this at 8:15 this morning, at 9:30, and now at 11. So he's a pro, all right? He is a pro. James, welcome, buddy. And tell the folks here about your circumstances in your life in Northern England as you were growing up, and let's say prior to 2011. Tell us about that.
Okay, so I'm now 21. So before 2011, I was just a usual high school kid. I played sports, had friends, I went to school, and that's it really, just a usual normal college, high school kid.
Yeah, no, meaning troublemaker. It's kind of what you're, no, not a troublemaker.
No, not
troublemaker. All right. So it was kind of normal. But then in that context and in your growing up, keep in mind now, England is where a lot of Americans came from originally, where a lot of our religion came from. And in fact, many of the great awakenings and the big revival movements of history came right out of England. But James, as you were growing up, did you know any Christians in your generation, in your age group, or friends?
No, I didn't know any.
In fact, James told me the only connection he had to any church was the occasional trip on Christmas Eve with his grandmother to church. That's it. That's England. And in fact, James is telling me on the way over here this morning, less than 3% of England is Christian. Less than 3%. Isn't that shocking? Isn't that amazing? So James is growing up in high school in a context where he's not hearing the gospel. He doesn't know any Christians. In his context, and I've been told this by other British folks, religion is past tense there. It's sort of your grandma's thing, right? But now something happened in your life in 2011 that kind of brought you to a new place of searching. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so in February 2011, I was going through like a hard time in school, and I used to get bullied, and I struggled with depression, and it was just like my life just took a downhill turn. It was going really, really badly and really wrong, and I just decided that I'd had enough and just felt like just couldn't do it anymore, so I tried to commit suicide, and I tried to drown myself in the bathtub.
And fortunately, you failed.
Yeah.
We're glad about that. What were you thinking during that time?
What would
cause you to come to that conclusion?
I just didn't think that anyone would be bothered if I wasn't there anymore. I just didn't think that anyone cared about me or loved me. I just didn't really, just wasn't bothered if I was there.
So you're living in Northern England. You have family.
Yep.
You have
yep.
friends.
Yep.
But there's an emptiness in the sense that you didn't feel like there was any hope and nobody loved you. That's not an unusual feeling, by the way. Not at all. So when you failed in that attempt, tell us what happened next.
So I came up out of the water and I was crying, I was upset, and then I just suddenly got an urge to pray for the first time, and I'd never prayed to God. I didn't really know much about God, but I just suddenly got like this urge to pray, and I just felt like God was telling me that, like, now, like, you've tried doing it your way and just completely failed and that you're ready to give up. So like, now try it my way. I really felt like God was like telling me that at that time.
So that created kind of a new receptivity, I might say, a new openness to the things of God, which you'd never considered before.
Yeah.
So then something interesting happened. A group of teenagers from this little place called Champion Forest Baptist Church in Houston, Texas. What happened?
So we've had American visitors come to my high school before, but this is the first time that Champion Forest came. And I really felt like a connection. I really felt like I was engaged in what they were saying and what they were talking about in the lessons and in assemblies.
What were they teaching?
They were just like, they had a Bible story they were talking about and then like sharing basically about their faith and like basically sharing the gospel.
So they're sharing the gospel in a school in England from Texas.
Yeah.
And you were one of the students.
Yep.
Now, I know the answer to this, so I'm just going to ask. Most of your friends, your mates, were not paying much attention to that part.
Yeah, no.
Not much interest. Listen. But you were interested. You were really listening because God was working in your heart.
Yeah.
So the next thing that happens in this story is that not only do we send a team of students from Champion Forest to Northern England, then we bring the soccer team, football in his language, to America and give them the opportunity to play soccer around Texas, as well as continue to build this relationship and to get to know them over the time. So you came to the States a couple of months later to play soccer and toured about. And then you came back in the summer to go to high school camp.
Yep.
So this is reverse mission trip. See, we've gone there, and now we bring students from their school here. What happened at high school summer mission trip, summer camp?
So obviously I came back with the football team and went to the summer camp. And I just really felt like God was talking to me that week. I really felt that God was wanting me to commit to him and to start a relationship with him. And so I accepted Christ and got baptized at the week of high school beach camp.
Amen. Great testimony. James, great testimony. That is exactly what we love to hear. So he hears the gospel and he becomes a believer, a Christian. He follows Lord Believer's baptism and he's identifying with believers. And here's the problem. He's going back to England. And there, remember what I said? He doesn't know any believers there. There are no Christians there. The churches that are there are closed. They're restaurants and bed and breakfasts and things like that. So how are we going to disciple James across the Atlantic Ocean? Well, as God works, some of you may know a guy named Mike Taylor. Mike was our student pastor for years at Champion Forest Baptist Church. And God called Mike Taylor and his family to move to Northern England, guess where? To plant a church and to become the pastor of a church in James' hometown. And has been discipling James since 2011 when he came to faith in Christ. And not only that, listen to this. What have you been doing with your summers?
I'd spent a summer working with an organization called Youth for Christ, which Mike runs. And we basically go out and share the gospel to like kids on the street. And like we run like sports camps and different things like that to like engage with the kids and to be relational with them.
So you're sharing the gospel?
Yeah.
In schools?
Yeah, in schools as well.
And in parks and just wherever you have the opportunity.
Yep.
That's amazing. By the way, you at Champion Forest give through your mission support to support Mike Taylor's mission, UK USA in England. So isn't this funny how many sections here get intertwined? Now, one more thing. You've been out of England twice beyond your trips to America. Yep. What's that all about?
I've been to Uganda twice, and I've done mission trips over there, building playgrounds and sharing the gospel to like kids and adults of Uganda in schools.
So wait a minute, let me make sure. You get saved, which is a good thing, and then you're discipled and grow in your faith. That's a very good thing. And now you're already serving in ministry and on mission. See what I'm talking about? That's a life changing lives. I'm so grateful, James, you didn't sit on the gospel. I'm grateful for his salvation and for his growing in maturity, but look what God is doing already. In Uganda twice, right?
Yep.
And in England twice. And I might add, both of those are volunteer positions. So he's volunteered his summers to serve the Lord and to share the gospel across his own country. You get what I'm talking about? What is missions? Changed lives, changing lives. James, thanks for what you're doing, brother. God bless you. Appreciate that so much. Yeah, I'll take it right here. Good job. Beautiful. That is exactly what we're talking about. And you know what? There is a testimony out there with your name on it. There is a testimony of somebody whose life was changed because your life was changed. And you were on mission. You were praying, you were giving, and you were willing to go. When you left church, you were going, and you recognized, I'm going to make disciples. let me fast forward to heaven. Because if you have faith and trust in Jesus and you've come to believe in him as your Savior, you're going to be to heaven and you're going to spend eternity with God. No surprise there, that's his promise. But let me tell you what two surprises may await you. Number one, it may surprise you that you're there. I mean, really, think about it. It may surprise us that we're, but only by the grace of God, right? That's the surprise. That God would love us in spite of ourselves, that he would forgive us and make the penalty paid for our sin and allow us to come into his perfect heaven, his perfect heaven, to live forever with him. That'll be a surprise. But let me tell you one more surprise that may be waiting for you there. There'll be some there, some others, who were there because you were here. The fruit of your ministry, the fruit of your mission, the outworking of what you've been working out. There'll be some like James and others whose names we don't even know yet, whose lives were changed because your life was changed. And we'll have plenty of time to find out how all those threads are interconnected. From a kid in Northern England who receives a mission trip from America and becomes a mission trip to America, gets saved, goes back and is discipled by a minister who goes on mission, supported by a church, and then gets sent into the schools of England and finally to Uganda, and then back here to tell us, here's how it works. I was a life that was changed because of your changing life. See how that harvest works? See how the fruit? We're going to spend some time in heaven, I can assure you, discovering the fruits of our labors. World missions is a huge concept. Global missions is enormous. How can I make a difference? I can pray. I can give. And I can go.
We hope that you've enjoyed the message today and that it will be a source of encouragement to you this week. At Champion Forest Baptist Church, we desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. And that's because with Christ, we have hope and true satisfaction. The Bible clearly states that all men have offended God by worshiping things he created instead of him. We have chosen to reject his authority in our life and look for satisfaction in things he created instead of him, which is ultimately pointless given that he is truly the only thing that can satisfy us completely. He is the perfection of everything we seek. The problem is, though, that once we have sinned against him by turning to these other things, a gap is created between us, not allowing us to access him anymore to find this satisfaction. God's character demands that our rebellion be accounted for before he forgives us. And this is the beauty of the message of Jesus. Christ is perfect in every way. He never rebelled against God, and he took upon our punishment on himself so that we could be reconciled to God and be fully satisfied in him, gaining eternal life. We need Jesus because without him, we are without hope, both in this life and for eternity. Turn to Christ alone for forgiveness and find satisfaction fully in our great God. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and we hope to see you soon.